So today we are kicking off our summer series. Doesn't that feel weird? It seems like spring just got here, and now we're already into summer. It's Ohio weather, what can I say? The summer series is going to focus on making a difference in various circles of our life, and we see that in the logo here. You can see this out at the display board a little closer. In the bulletin, it's really teeny. But we're going to be looking at these different circles in our life and kind of starting from the inside and working on the way, working our way out. So this month, we're talking about making a difference in my personal life. And so we'll see that there. So they'll be kind of spanned over there in the actual logo. This month, we're talking about making a difference in our personal life. Next month, connected to that topic, we're going to be talking about making a difference in our Bible study. Then the month after that, we're going to be talking about making a difference in our families in July. And we'll have all the kids up here during the service, most of them during second service, but we'll have the full families up here during those services. And so we've got some special things thought about for that. So then as the circle widens, as it widens out, then in August, we're talking about making a difference in our school or our workplace, where you go and you spend your daytime hours there. Then we're going to end it in September as we talk about making a difference in society. pardon me. Get my throat clear this morning. So today we kick off our May, making a difference in my personal life. During the play and the process of that, rehearsing since last fall sometime, I can't remember when we started, but it's twice a week, and so my wife's in it. Those of you guys who haven't seen anything, I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but my boys they've started quoting the lines from the play around the house. My youngest, Judah, he knocked on on one of our doors in the house there, and I said, "Who is it?" And he poked his head in and he said, "A murdering lunatic." So, and that's one of Logan's lines. So it's not just my lines. It's, you know, so. And various times in the car, they've recited, "My cape so thin it flaps freely in the wind. My heroic stare turns enemy into friend. My muscles break next one snap at a bend." So, but they'll quote those out and around different times. And there was some time, I can't remember, it was Judah again, and our youngest, and he said something about, "Haven't you," or whatnot, and I said, "No," and he said, "Haven't you," and I said, "No," and he said, "Haven't you," and I said, "No." Look, it doesn't matter how many times you keep saying, "Haven't you," my story's not going to change. So, but it's just amazing how much they see, and they watch, and they imitate, and there are parts of my life that I wish they wouldn't imitate, and as parents, grandparents, I think we all have those parts. There are other parts where I'm really glad when I see them imitating those things. Those are the things I want them to see. And so as Christians, we're called to imitate our Father. We're called to imitate God. We're called to follow in the very footsteps of Jesus, disciples. A disciple is a disciplined follower. That's what a disciple is. We are disciplined followers of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:22 through 24 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new." Everyone say new. New. "In the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God." Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, in the beginning, we were created in God's likeness, in the image of God, in the image of God's being. But after we gave our life to Christ, we were made new. When we came up out of the waters of baptism, we were made new. We died to our old self. We put off our old self. We put off all of those old things. And we came up and we were washed and we were new. What an exciting word, new. We were made new in the attitude of our mind, so that the way that we processed information from that day forward should have changed. We're made new in the attitude of our mind. We're made new in the way that we think about things, the way that we go about processing, the way we go about using our logic, and the way we go about analyzing life, the way we look at other people, the way we look at ourselves, the way we think about situations, the way we think about our behavior. We're made new in the attitude of our minds. That's a big deal. We were created, and in essence recreated, to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's write that down. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's straight from Scripture. To be like Jesus, to follow in his footsteps, to be imitators of God. We've been called to be like God, to put on the new self created not just in the image and the likeness of God's being like we were in the beginning, but more about the inner part of God, that the core of God, his core beliefs, righteousness and holiness. We were created to be like God in those ways. As we turn the page in Ephesians to Ephesians chapter 5, we find the verse that talks about how we are to be imitators of God. It says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." One of the older version of the NIV reads, "Be imitators of God." If I remember that version right, this one has, "Follow God's example. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us." So let's write that down. To follow Jesus' example of love. If we're going to be like Jesus, we've been recreated to be just like God in his righteousness and holiness. We've been made to be like Jesus, to walk in love, to follow Jesus' example of love, to walk in love. To walk in the way of love. That requires humility as we watch Jesus in his greatest example of love displayed. It takes humility. It takes sacrifice to walk in love. To follow Jesus' example of love. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." Everyone say live. Live as Jesus did. So let's write that down. To live as Jesus did. So these are things that we're being reminded of this morning. This morning's not any new venture for a lot of us. But bringing to surface some very basic principles to open up this series as we enter into the whole summer. To think about what does it mean to really be like Jesus. That's really the core of making a difference in my personal life. Who am I and what am I doing? We've been recreated to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We've been created brand new to walk as Jesus walked, to walk in love. We've been created to live as Jesus did. If we claim to live in him, how can we claim to live in him and not live the way he lived? John's logic is very simple. If you claim to live in him, then you live as he lived. We all know that's easier said than done. But we know that that's what's asked of us, to live as Jesus lived. Jesus in Luke chapter 6, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like." I love Jesus' pictures he paints. He said, "They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was built well. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." Jesus said, "Let me paint you a picture of what it looks like to hear the words I share and not to do them. is destruction. You don't have a foundation. Let's write this down. The very beginning of this, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" So we are to live as Jesus did, but we are also to do what Jesus said to do. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? I've told you love your neighbor. I've told you love your enemy even. I've told you not to use angry words with each other and put each other down. I've told you not to look at a woman lustfully. I've told you just to let your yes be yes and your no be no. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I told you to do? I've told you you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Go let your good deeds shine before men so they may see your Father and praise him in heaven. Do what I told you to do." It's very simple. Those words from Jesus, they really strike me hard. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Because it really is easy to sit in here on a Sunday morning, to have fellowship with other Christians, to enjoy our time together, to sing the songs that are led for us, to listen to scripture, to listen to a sermon, and to call Jesus Lord, Lord, and yet walk through our life and not do the things that he asks us to do. And Jesus, he approaches that, just, he confronts that very clearly in words 2,000 years ago that ring true to us today. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Here's a picture of what that looks like. Your life's going to fall apart because you have no foundation. When the tough times come, when the winds come, when the torrent hits, that house is going to crumble. But the man who listens to Jesus' words, that's like a man who dug deep and laid a foundation of rock. And when the storms came, when life's troubles came, when difficult times came, they were not shaken. Do what Jesus said to do. Romans 8:29 says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." So we were all called. We were called by God. Those of us who have answered that call, we've entered into this transformation, this confirmation, that we've been conformed into the likeness of his Son, into the image of his Son. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it talks about being transformed. So let's write this down. Let's put those two verses together, that we are to be conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus. That change that's happening inside of us, the renewing of our minds, a new attitude of our minds to be like God in true righteousness. I mean, this list, look at the list you have right in front of you. That's the gist, isn't it? It's simple, but that's it, isn't it? That's what it looks like to live like Christ, to be like Jesus, to be made new in the attitude of our minds. When we come up, we were made new. Why were we made new? We were made new to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We were made new to walk in love, to love as Jesus loved, to live as Jesus lived, to do what Jesus did, to do what he said to do, to be conformed and transformed into his image. That's the Christian walk in a nutshell. You guys have those verses right there. So I encourage you, take that, put it somewhere where you're going to see it. That's the whole premise of the series that we've entered into this summer, is to be like Jesus in my personal life, and connected to that little bunny we'll chase for a month on Bible study, and then to jump back into the circles, to be like Jesus with my family, to be like Jesus at work or at school, to be like Jesus in my society, to be like Jesus. The author of the books, The Pursuit of Holiness and Trusting God Even When Life Hurts, his name is Jerry Bridges, and he wrote another book called The Discipline of Grace. And in that book, Jerry makes an observation about Hebrews 1:9. We'll have that up on the screen. He said, one of my favorite descriptions of Christ is that he loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Jesus did not act righteous, did not just act righteously, he loved righteousness. In his humanity, he loved equality, fairness, justice, and upright dealings with others. At the same time, he hated wickedness. Jesus hated sin as sin. We often hate the consequences of sin, even if it seems to be no more than guilt feelings that follow sin. But I suspect we seldom hate sin as sin. It's a neat verse, to love righteousness. It was the core of who he was, connected to this understanding that we are to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Jesus didn't just do righteous things. He didn't just act righteously. I love this observation that Jerry picks up in this book. It wasn't just that he did these things. It was his passion. He loved righteousness. And wickedness wasn't something that he just avoided or didn't do because it was wrong or because God would be displeased or because it was listed or because it was something where we've got our black and white commandments. This is what you're to do and this is what you're not to do. It's far deeper than that. And I think as we lay a foundation in our lives based on being like Jesus, that it should mean the same thing to us that it meant to him. Not just to avoid doing bad things because we know that there's bad consequences or we know that God would be displeased, we know that it would hurt other people, but that we don't do bad things because simply in the core of who we are, we hate sin, we hate wickedness. What a powerful way to live. As Christians, we are being conformed and transformed into the very image of Jesus. To be made like God in true righteousness and holiness, to live as Jesus did, to do what he said to do. What he was passionate about, we should be passionate about. What excited him should excite us. How he handled his emotions is how we should handle our emotions. What drove him is what should drive us to be like Jesus. How he spent his time. How he spent his time here on earth. That's how we should spend our time. We should look at the things he did. How did Jesus spend a day? How did he spend his time? What did he focus on? If we're going to be like Jesus, shouldn't we spend our time doing the same things? Shouldn't we look at that and say, you know what? What Jesus wanted to spend time on, that's what I should want to spend time on. We'll be talking about that in this series. How he cultivated and maintained a relationship with God. We should look at that. That father-son relationship was there to show the intimacy that they had and to be an example for us that we too can have that level of intimacy. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are brothers and sisters with Jesus because God is our Father through what Jesus has made and allowed for us. It's amazing. This is what our personal life should look like. This should be the epicenter of our life. This is what's truly healthy for our soul, to live like Jesus. And you and I both know it's not what it looks like all the time. I mean, that list in our bulletin, that's not what it looks like all the time. We're not always like that. And it's more than just an external struggle. The obstacles that we encounter in that desire to live that way, the things that we must overcome, they're not just simple external struggles in life, but it's what goes on the inside. That's where the real battle is. So how do we progress towards this goal? What's going to help us on this journey of our soul to be like Jesus? It seems too easy just to refer back to the list that we just wrote. But isn't that really the best guide we have? To be reminded this morning that you are made to be like God in righteousness and holiness, to live like Jesus lived, to love like Jesus loved, to do what Jesus said to do, to be conformed and transformed into Jesus' image, to be formed into Jesus, to submit to God's recreation of us. One of Jesus' common practices was prayer. I want to move to another subject here. So be like Jesus. One of the ways that he connected was through prayer. Jesus was involved in public prayer as well as times where he would get away and pray privately. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places as he prayed, and he prayed, according to Luke 5:16. Jesus spent all night in prayer before setting aside the 12 disciples as the 12 apostles. And we still call them the 12 disciples, but Jesus set them aside as the 12 apostles. And you can find that in Luke chapter 6. When Peter and James and John witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus up on the mountain, it was because Jesus had taken them up on the mountain to do what? To pray. And it was during that prayer that the prayer time was interrupted as Jesus was transfigured before their eyes and Moses and Elijah appeared with him, all in glorious splendor. And that is in Luke chapter 9. Jesus taught us that we should pray and we should never give up praying. This is in Luke 18. Luke talked a lot about prayer, didn't he? All those references from Luke's gospel. And of course, we know of the scene of the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prays before his arrest, trials, and crucifixion. Prayer was an important part of Jesus, and it was an important part of his life, and it was an important part of his teachings. We should never underestimate the importance of our prayer, of prayer in our personal life. If we want to be like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to walk as Jesus walked, to live as Jesus lived, to be conformed and transformed into his likeness, then we should pray like Jesus. We've got our National Day of Prayer coming up this Thursday. It's 24 hours of prayer. All of us join together to be able to call each other and pass a baton. Text, call, whatever, who's next? Walt's right after me, just like last year. So I get a chance to call Walt. Say, hey, Walt, I'm maybe not done praying, but it's the half hour's up, so it's your turn, and we'll just kind of overlap as much as we need to there. It's a great time to share together as a church. There's still plenty of spots available. I encourage you, sign up for a spot. Commit to that. Let's cover 24 hours in prayer as a church in honor of National Day of Prayer. There's so many things that need prayed for. In our church, the people here, our family members, our country, our nation. If you go out there when you sign up, this is the prayer guide. It's out there. And it's got a large list of things. There's a lot of scriptures that you can look at and refer to as you're praying. And in that, we look at, on the beginning of the prayer guide, is a model of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. So let's take a moment and kind of walk through that. That way, as you get your prayer guide, it'll be something that'll be reminded, that you'll be reminded of. In Matthew 6, starting in verse 9, Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. And he starts off by praising God's name. He says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So let's write that down. To follow this model prayer As we pray, a great way to start our prayer time would be to just praise God. To just praise Him. Hallowed be your name. It's a form of praise. It doesn't mean that we only say those words. It's a reflection of our heart. What does God mean to you? What words can you think of to praise God with as you enter into prayer? So we praise God. We start into our prayer that way. Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's another part of this model. Prayer is submission, to submit our will to His will. So let's write that down. To submit our will to His will. Give us today our daily bread. So Jesus says, ask for the things you need. Don't be afraid to ask the Father for what you need. Give us this day our daily bread. Tell your Father what you need. Feel comfortable bringing those things to Him. Ask for the things you need. He says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So we ask for forgiveness. So we praise God's name. We submit our will to His will. We ask for the things we need. We ask for forgiveness. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we are to ask for guidance to straighten our paths. Ask for guidance to straighten your path. We're going to take a few moments, and surely if I could put you on the spot. I talked to Logan, but I don't know. I think he thought I was just talking second service. Can I have you play something nice and maybe what you did for communion time? And then, Jim, if we can bring the lights down and turn off the side fills. We're going to spend a few moments in prayer here together, and it's just going to be a guided prayer. That way you guys can close your eyes and just really focus on God. And I'm going to talk you through these different elements as we spend some time in prayer here in kind of a warm-up for Thursday. So bow your heads, and more importantly, bow your hearts, bow your will. And just spend just a few moments in silent prayer and just praise God's name. Think of a few words that come to mind about God. Words that describe who He is. Praise God's name for the qualities that He has. Think of things that you're thankful. Praise Him for those things. And take a moment and submit your will to His will. Ask that His kingdom would take the place of your kingdom. Maybe there are specific parts of your life right now, some specific things going on that you need to surrender to Him, that you need to lay down at His feet. Maybe some things that have been taking over your mind, some things you've been worrying about. And we need to just lay those down before Him and submit our will to His will. Take a moment and ask for the things that you need. Bring specific requests to Him. He's your Father. And then we humbly go before Him and we ask forgiveness. Maybe some things that were going on this week, maybe even just yesterday. And that He would help our heart to forgive others as well. And then ask for guidance. Maybe guidance in a specific situation in your life, a specific relationship, guidance in a specific area of your life. Maybe a struggle that you're involved in. Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to talk to You, that we know that You desire this, that this is what You want. I pray that You help us to pray like Your Son, to live as He lived, to love as He loved, to be made like You in true righteousness and holiness, to be conformed and transformed into the image of Your Son. Father, we bring all these things to You this morning as we bow. We simply say we love You. And we hand parts of our life over to You. And we ask that You'd take care of us, that You'd forgive us, and You'd guide us. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.